जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी जय यशोदा नंदना जय प्रजजन रंजना जय यशोदा नंदना जय प्रजजन रंजना जय यमुना तीर वनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी 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 जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय श्री श्री राधा माधव की जय श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ जी की जय श्रीला प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीला गुरुदेव की निताय गौर प्रेमनंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये। बिफोर रिसाइटिंग दिस श्रीमद् भागवतम् which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Naranarayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Nasta praeshu abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So on behalf of the disciples of Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, I want to offer very humbly my great gratitude to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and all the devotees gathered here and all the members of the congregation. Some of you I know by sight, some of you I know on the basis of loving relationship, but all of you are very special to us because of the love that Maharaj gave to my spiritual master in his last few months in this world. We are very happy to be here, and for me personally, it's a wonderful spiritual journey to always sit in the association of like-minded devotees and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Many of you here are much more qualified than I can ever be, but I seek your forgiveness and I seek your understanding that I will just try to speak something on a verse that was discussed by Guru Maharaj many years ago, and I'm just taking the notes from his class or his discussion. And maybe for a few minutes I may discuss the verse, and then after that perhaps I may reflect on some of Maharaj's glories and pastimes. Time is of the essence always, and Bhagavatam is so nice that so I am very mindful of the timing. So just bear with me to see what I can speak. Bhagavatam can only be touched in 45 minutes or half an hour. Maybe it can be smelt little bit, but Bhagavatam is so beautiful that even if you take 10 minutes of it, it is still complete. So this verse is an important verse because it tells us the importance of obedience and the importance of how a disciple or a son should follow the instructions of his father or spiritual master. So let us chant the verse together, then that would be nice. Uttamas chintatam kurya proktakari tu madhyamaha adamo achraddaya kurya akartocharitam pituhu uttamaschintitam kurya proktakari tu madhyamaha अधमो श्रद्धया कुर्या अकर्तो चरितं पितुः उत्तमश्चिन्तितं कुर्या प्रोक्तकारी तु मध्यमः अधमो श्रद्धया कुर्या अकर्तोच्चरितं पितुः उत्तमश्चिन्तितं कुर्या प्रोक्तकारी तु मध्यमः अधमो श्रद्धया कुर्या माताजी उत्तमश्चिन्तितं कुर्या प्रोक्ताकारी तु मध्यमः अधमो श्रद्धया कुर्या उत्तमः द बेस्ट चिन्तितम् कन्सिडरिंग द फादर्स आइडियाज कुर्यात् एक्स अकॉर्डिंगली प्रोक्ताकारी वन हु एक्स on the order of the father. Two, indeed, madhyamaha, mediocre, adhamaha, lower class, ashraddaya, without any faith, kuryat, ex, akarta, unwilling to do, uccharitam, like stool, pituhu, of the father. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat the translation. A son who acts by anticipating what his father wants him to do is first class. One who acts upon receiving his father's order is second class. And one who executes his father's order irreverently is third class. But a son who refuses his father's order is like his father's stool. Please hear the purport. Puru, Yayati's last son, immediately accepted his father's proposal, for although he was the youngest, he was very qualified. Puru thought, I should have accepted my father's proposal before he asked, but I did not. Therefore, I am not a first-class son. I am second-class. But I do not wish to become the lowest type of son who is compared to his father's stool. One Indian poet has spoken of putra and mutra. Putra means son, and mutra means urine. Both a son and urine come from the same genitals. If a son is an obedient devotee of the Lord, he is called putra, or a real son. Otherwise, if he is not learned and is not a devotee, a son is nothing better than urine. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Transcendental Purports Ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगे राधे वृंदावनीश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरे द्विषे नमः वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। The disappearance of a Vaishnava is actually considered to be more glorious than his appearance. When Maharaj was in his last 3 months or so, in October or November in Rajkot, it was 16th, 17th October, he called me one evening and said that my health is not good and I'm leaving Rajkot. He said, now Devki, I'm not going to come back to Rajkot. And I said, Maharaj, you've said that many times, but you will come back. And Maharaj said, no, this time there's no coming back. Then we were discussing about the temple project. And he spoke as if he was leaving everything. And then I asked Maharaj, when we speak about appearance of someone, we don't know who that person is. And Maharaj continued and said, in our tradition, we may not know how great a Vaishnava is when he's born. Because very often we don't understand who he is until he manifests his greatness later. But by the time a great Vaishnava winds up his pastimes, everyone can come to understand his glories. So that's why for Vaishnava's disappearance day, whether it's tithi or whether it's calendar, is considered to be very important. The other thing that is also very important for us to remember is the fact that for the Vaishnavas, frankly speaking, they never actually leave us. Frankly speaking, Vaishnavas have no beginning and no end. Because Vaishnavas are non-different from the sound incarnation that they manifest on the platform of Srimad Bhagavatam. And because a Vaishnava is always connected to Srimad Bhagavatam, he continues to eternally live with Bhagavatam. You know, there is a nice verse, I think. It is from 2nd Canto, 3rd Chapter, 12th verse. I think that famous verse, Ayur Harati Vaipumsam Udyanastam Chayanasau Tasyarte Yatshana Nita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. In this verse, actually, this verse is very important for Vaishnavas. Because Bhagavatam tells us very clearly that even though the rising and the setting of the sun may occur and will occur in this material world, and though it decreases the duration of everybody's life, the only exception is one who is utilizing his entire time by discussing the topics of Krishna. And in the purport of that beautiful verse, towards the end of the purport, in the last few lines, you find Prabhupada writes very nicely that a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal spiritual life. This is a very important point. A devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal spiritual life. The sun may set on the body of a Vaishnava, but it never sets on his teachings and it never sets on his instructions. So in that way, Maharaj taught us as disciples that as long as we are on the platform of Srimad Bhagavatam, we will never lose the connection to the Acharyas and we will never lose the connection to our spiritual masters. Maharaj spent a large part of his final days also, Hare Krishna Radha Jivan Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Maharaj spent a large part of his time in the last 3 months of his final journey in Nasik. Nasik was very dear to Maharaj because most of his childhood was spent in Nasik. And over there we had a nice peaceful house and there he was spending time daily. We were reading and studying Srimad Bhagavatam with him. But towards the end, you know, it became very difficult for him to speak and he would not speak. And for long hours he would just lie down on the bed, but he gave us instructions to keep chanting the verses of Bhagavatam. Sometimes late in the night, I would think as I was chanting that Maharaj may be taking rest. And I would start a verse and I would finish it and look at Maharaj, and Maharaj looked like he was sleeping. I remember coming to the second canto, third chapter, and I came exactly to the verse that I just read, 2:3:17. And when I chanted that verse, I was going to finish when I started coughing. And just at the point when I started coughing, when I stopped the verse, Maharaj opened his eyes out of nowhere and he completed the verse for me. And at that point, I realized that all this time when I was chanting, Maharaj had actually been hearing. And all this time, I was under the false impression that I was chanting and my spiritual master was taking solace in my wonderful chanting. And he finished the verse for me. And then he said, Devaki, you should look at the last few lines of this purport. And then he became silent again. And for a while I thought, did I dream all this? Because it was very late in the night. And suddenly Maharaj had spoken when he had not spoken for days. And all of a sudden he was bright and alive. And he was sharp on point with Bhagavatam. And I realized that he hadn't missed a single word that we were chanting. And that's when I read that last line of that purport, I realized that Prabhupada wrote there, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age in his present life is an impetus to his guaranteed eternal life. Impetus. And the word impetus, Maharaj taught us, has another synonym to it. Another I. Maharaj instructed us in Bhagavatam that when we want to take impetus from Krishna, in order to become, to get impetus from Krishna, we must become inspired by Krishna. And Maharaj taught us there is only one verse in the entire Bhagavatam that speaks about the inspiration that Krishna gives us. He loved that verse. It's in 3rd canto, 29th chapter. It's in the 39th verse. And there Kapila Dev is speaking to Devahuti Mata. And he says very nicely, Na chasya kaschid daito, na dvesha, Nacha bandhavaha. Avisati apramatto asau, pramattam janamantakrit. And in that verse, Prabhupada nicely translates. He says, no one is dear to Krishna. And at the same time, no one is an enemy of Krishna. But Krishna gives inspiration to those who have not forgotten him. And for those who have forgotten Krishna, he actually destroys them. How does he destroy them? Prabhupada writes in the purport. He destroys them in the form of death. So when Maharaj was speaking to us from the Bhaktivedanta hospital, many times he quoted this verse. And he said that as long as we are trying to remember Krishna, we will always have the inspiration to remember Krishna. Maharaj said, don't search for inspiration in the sky when it is very much on the ground. Inspiration is not something where your hair stands on end and for a moment you feel like jumping higher in kirtan. Maharaj said inspiration is actually coming on the platform of serious study of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you bury your head in Bhagavatam, then naturally Krishna gives you the impetus to become inspired on the basis of Bhagavatam. So this verse is important because as long as we forget Krishna, Maharaj made it a point to make us remember that by remembrance of Krishna, we are inspired. By forgetfulness of Krishna, we will have to die. The Vaishnavas never die because they continue living on the basis of the instructions and on the basis of Bhagavatam. So when Maharaj had a stroke in the beginning of the In 1999-2000, he suffered a major stroke. And in that stroke, you know, doctors told us that his chances of actually pulling through is very slim. And at that point of time, I had sat down with Maharaj and I'd asked Maharaj, Maharaj, what happens if you leave? What happens if you leave now? How will I be able to contact you? How will I be able to speak to you? And Maharaj made a very interesting point. He said, Devaki, just remember one thing. This material body has no value. It only has value as long as it also is dragged to the pages of Bhagavatam. In fact, once the material body is cast away, the spiritual master's connection to the disciple is even stronger than before. Where previously you had to pick up the phone and dial Rajkot or Dwarka, now you don't even have to pick up the phone. You just have to study Bhagavatam and be sincere in your sadhana. And then our connection will become instant. It is like instant milk, you know, and instant laddus and instant, all these instant things that you get, Maharaj said. You get them very fast because there is no more body between us. So this gave me a glimpse and understanding that disappearance is actually an impetus for us to continue to be inspired by the instructions of the spiritual master. Which is why today's verse is very relevant. Because the entire success of a devotee's life is premised on the level of his obedience to the spiritual master and to the acharyas. I asked Maharaj once after initiation, Maharaj, to what extent should I obey you? To what extent? Of course, I knew the answer would be to the fullest extent. But Maharaj said, it's very simple. If you want to breathe, you ask me for permission. To that extent, if you obey me, then you have no problems going back to Krishna. It becomes my responsibility. But if you want to breathe separately from me, then it's your business. It's between you and Krishna then. So Maharaj gave me a specific instruction. Devaki, if you want to breathe, you pick up the phone and say, Maharaj, can I breathe? And I will tell you whether you should breathe or you shouldn't breathe. So then I came to understand the importance of obedience. And there was nothing more important to Maharaj than a devotee trying to obey. I asked Maharaj whether obedience is a principle which is spoken about in Bhagavatam very often. And Maharaj said in the third chapter, 31st verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the entire premise of obedience is actually based in that verse. Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shraddhavanto anasviyanto mucchanti tepi karmabihi. It's a very important verse. There Krishna makes it unequivocal to Arjuna. And he tells him that Arjuna, those who obey the injunctions given by me, and this obedience must be on the platform of two foundations. It must be on the platform of faith. And it must be on the platform of freedom from envy. If one is simple in heart and has no envy, and if one has 110% faith in the orders of the spiritual master, then on that platform, Krishna tells Arjuna, you will become free. And this freedom, Maharaj said, is not simply freedom from the material existence. More deeper than that, it is the freedom from the false ego of thinking that I know better than my spiritual master. This is very important. Up to the second chapter, 7th verse, Arjuna was giving so many propositions on why he should not fight. But at the same time as he was doing that, Bhagavad Gita tells us he was losing his composure. And Maharaj highlighted that this is what happens to the disciples. And surely start saying, this instruction I will take because it suits me. This instruction I will not take because time, place and circumstances does not really suit me. And in that way, we start picking and choosing the instructions. In that way, we become third class sons of the spiritual master and father. We become what Bhagavatam says is known as irreverent. One who is irreverent is no better than Mutra, because he does not want to obey the orders of the spiritual master. It is only when Arjuna said, I have lost my composure and I am now confused about my duty. So Maharaj said, it's always good for a disciple to have two C's with him. Lost of composure and lost of confidence. It is not a bad thing for a disciple to always genuinely in his heart say that without the blessings of the spiritual master, I have no composure. And without the blessings of the spiritual master, I will be confused. That is why Maharaj always cautioned us that initiation is not the day you took the beads from the spiritual master. Initiation means daily. Daily initiating ourselves into the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. Daily initiating ourselves into following the orders of the spiritual master. And daily initiating ourselves into starting the day with Mangala Arati. This is the way to become obedient. Maharaj also made a very important point about obedience that is worth remembering. He said that obedience is manifested greatest in the remembrance of Krishna. Your obedience will be tested by how much you remember Krishna. If you do not obey the orders of Krishna, Shastra and spiritual master, we actually factually cannot remember Krishna even for a single second. But if we just try to obey, then remembrance of Krishna becomes automatic. Sometimes we always ask ourselves how to remember Krishna for a whole day. Factually speaking, Bhagavatam tells us remembrance of Krishna automatically manifests in the heart of a devotee who is sincerely trying to follow the orders of the spiritual master. And in case the question is asked that I'm trying very hard to follow the orders of my spiritual master, but I still cannot, then what do we do? Are we considered mutra or are we considered putra? Maharaj again cautioned us to look at very carefully the last sentence of the verse of 331 of Bhagavad Gita. And if you read that last sentence of that verse, you'll find Prabhupada gives the most encouraging statement in the entire Bhagavad Gita. Because Prabhupada writes there that if someone somehow or another tries very, very hard, but still he cannot come to the platform of maybe 100% following the orders of the spiritual master, still Prabhupada said, if one is not resentful of this principle, that's the exact word he uses. If one is not resentful of this principle means following the injunctions of Krishna and the spiritual master. If one is not resentful of this principle, and if he works sincerely, without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, this is important. We should always be courageous when we take up the orders of the spiritual master. If we are courageous, it means we have full faith. If we take up the orders and say, well, spiritual master has said it, I have to do it, but in my heart I'm not very confident, then it shows that we actually don't have faith that the orders of the spiritual master will come to be. That is why Prabhupada is using the word courage and hopelessness. Devotee should never feel hopeless. He should never be discouraged. As long as we are with Bhagavatam, Mangalarati and nice sadhana and sadhu sangha, then we should always have a smile on our faces. And we should never be resentful of this principle. And Prabhupada said, if you have these two, then he ends that purport beautifully. One will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. Surely. Surely. So this is the guarantee of the value of obedience to the spiritual master. And that is what Puru in this verse is saying. He's saying that there are three kinds of devotees and there are three kinds of sons. The lowest class is that person who will actually not obey the orders. He's irreverent. Irreverent means he will do it as and when he pleases. He will not do it as and when he pleases. But easily refuses the orders, then he has no hope of peace. But the second class of devotee, Maharaj was saying in this verse that he took, is also very, very important. That's why if you read the word-to-word translation, you find that the word Madhyamaha is used to describe this second class of devotee. He is a person who is trying to execute the Father's order upon receiving it. He executes it. And Maharaj gave the nice example of Parashuram. Parashuram is non-different from Krishna. And his father was Jamadagni. And his mother was Renuka. And he had four brothers. So one time what happened was that Renuka Mata had gone to the lake to fetch water for Jamadagni. And at that point of time, a very handsome looking Gandharva had passed by the lake. And as he was passing by the lake, she happened to glance upon him. And after glancing, she came back with the water. Jamadagni was a very powerful sage. And he could immediately discern that she had looked at this Gandharva and she had remarked in her heart, very simply, that he looks very handsome. That's all. And the moment she did that, Jamadagni then looked at Renuka and said, you have become unchaste to me because you have actually glanced upon another man. When Maharaj took this verse in a class, he said, if this was the standard And if Jamadagni was here today, then no Patni will be ever chaste, and no husband will be considered chaste. Because in today's Kali Yuga, the standard of chastity is very different from the time of Jamadagni. Today, even if we don't want to glance, all these things are just forcing us to open our eyes and look at them. But in those days, this was the standard of purity. So then Jamadagni calls his other sons. Parashuram had gone to the forest. He was not around. He says that today your mother has become unchaste. And if you accept me as a father and a spiritual master, it becomes your duty to follow my orders. So they said, yes, my dear father, we will definitely follow your orders. Tell us what we should do. And he said, now I want you to chop your mother's head off immediately. And immediately they thought, but father, this is my mother. Why should we cut the head? And Jamadagni said, I thought you were ready to follow my orders. And immediately he cursed them to become stone-like statues. Parashuram comes back from the terrible sight. His mother is crying. She is on her knees. And his brothers are turned into statues. And father is looking very upset. So he drops all the wood he has collected. And he falls at the feet of Jamadagni. And he asks Jamadagni, what has happened, my father? Command me and tell me what I should do. And he said, will you obey me without hesitation? And Parashuram famously said, if I have accepted you as my spiritual master, then it is my duty to obey you. And he said, chop off your mother's head. And Parashuram, without a single moment of hesitation, says, yes. And he chops her head off. And the moment he does that, Jamadagni becomes very pleased. And he says, my dear son, today you have pleased me to no end. Now you ask from me two boons and I will give it to you. And Parashuram said, if you are asking of me to ask of you two boons, then I only have two very simple boons. First, you please bring my brothers back to life. And Jamadagni said, why not? And what's your second boon? Now you please put the head of my mother back to her body and you bring her back to life. And Jamadagni said, why not? And I will do that too. And Maharaj said, Shastras give us this wonderful example of this great obedience. Because in 3.24.13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmaji himself states this point to Kapila Dev. No, Kardama Muni. He tells Kardama Muni that he's so pleased with him for agreeing and obeying his instruction to get married. And he says that sons ought to follow the instructions of the father up to this extent, that they should say, yes, sir, the moment an order is given by the spiritual master. And Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj in that famous, wonderful purport to say that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, the instructions of the spiritual master are the life and the soul of the disciple. The spiritual master's instructions are nothing else but the breath by which the disciple lives. If a disciple cannot say yes, sir, to the order of the spiritual master there and then, Prabhupada writes very strongly, that disciple is considered fallen. What a powerful purport. And this is exactly what Parashuram did. And that's what Maharaj advised us. When I took initiation and I asked Maharaj on this point of obedience, he said, if I tell you to do something, you do it and ask questions later. That's very simple. If you do it first, then you get full blessings. After that, your questions come, and that's all right. But if you ask questions before you do it, then what happens is that the full force of the blessings of the parampara does not fall on you. Maharaj told me one thing. All the entire ISKCON movement is premised on the glorification of Krishna. Isn't that true? Our whole business, Prabhus and Matajis, frankly, is not even to preach. Our first business is to glorify Krishna. If you read Prabhupada's letters to his disciples in the early years when they were saying, nobody is coming, we have a very small center, Prabhupada was very encouraging. He said, it's not important how many people come. Are you glorifying Krishna? That is the key. If you're glorifying Krishna, Krishna will send the people. Why to worry who comes? And this is the principle of our movement, to glorify Krishna. And if we remember Shukadev Goswami's great instruction in 10.1.4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Nivritta Tarshay Upagiyamana. This one line is very important. Bhavao Shodachotra Mano Birama Kauttama Shloka Gunanuvadhan In these three lines, Shukadev Goswami is saying very nicely that the key is that if you want to properly glorify Krishna, it must be done through the parampara system. And that is why the spiritual master gives the instructions to the disciple, so that he, by following the instruction, you are already glorifying the parampara. That is why we do not have a life apart from the instructions of our spiritual master. In that way, life becomes very simple. And that's what became of Parashuram. Parashuram Maharaj said in that lecture, did not have to think. Prabhu's Mataji is the best thing you can do in spiritual life is don't think. When you chant, please don't think. Whenever I ask Maharaj, what is the success to chanting? Maharaj said, very simple, don't think. Sometimes I would turn to Maharaj and say, Maharaj, I think, don't think. Then I would say, Maharaj, I think my chanting, don't think. Then I'll say, my chanting is not so good. Maharaj said, why do you say that? I think. Maharaj said, don't think. Sometimes I say, Maharaj, when I'm chanting, I'm thinking that maybe the chanting is not good. Maharaj said, chanting is not good because while you are chanting, you are thinking. So he said, thinking is material. It has nothing to do with chanting. Chanting is spiritual. Do you realize how whenever you start chanting, the mind will start planning your day? Suddenly you become very organized. You start planning ahead. Today, at this time I will do this. All of this is done on the platform of wonderful chanting. And the more wonderful we chant, the more wonderfully we plan. And Maharaj said, the more wonderfully you plan, the more hopeless is your chanting. But the mind is so wonderful in its concoction, it will tell you, you chanted very nicely. You know how you know you chanted nicely? Because you plan your life very nicely on that day while you chanted. And in that way, we forget Krishna. Remembrance of Krishna does not require the mind. It only requires following the instructions of the spiritual master. That's all. We don't have to use the mind. That is the second class devotee. But the first class devotee, Bhagavatam gives a very beautiful glimpse of who he is. Bhagavatam tells us that the first class devotee is one who anticipates. And if you read the word to word of Bhagavatam, this verse, the word that Maharaj really liked in this verse is chintitam. Chintitam means to consider the Father's idea. Prabhupada never used a single word capriciously. Always take this back with you. Every single word used in Bhagavatam, every comma, every full stop is for a reason. If Prabhupada used the word consider, it's because it is significant. So Maharaj said, Prabhupada used the word to consider the Father's idea is the mark of a first class devotee, disciple. And what does that mean? To consider means to anticipate. One who is always considering, what would Guru Maharaj want me to do in this situation? That's how Maharaj taught me and taught us to consider the point of initiation. And as he was leaving this world, when I asked him, how am I to follow your instructions, Maharaj? He said, just remember every time you want to make a decision, every time you want to say something, just remember that what would you say and how would you behave if I was standing right next to you? Would you say something or would you not? And your conscience, Devaki, will be very clear on this matter. Whether you accept it is a different story. But your conscience will speak up and say, you know what? You can't say this. Because can you repeat the same thing in front of Guru? You cannot. This is the meaning of chintitam. This is how we always consider the ideas of Krishna, the ideas of the spiritual masters. And the consideration of the ideas of the acharyas are all manifested in Srimad Bhagavatam. The entire Bhagavatam, Maharaj said, is all meant for us to consider, to always meditate, to always contemplate. I asked Maharaj once, what is the difference between an advanced devotee and a struggling devotee? And he said, the only difference, Devaki, is 5 minutes. And I said, why 5 minutes is the difference? He said, a struggling devotee hears Bhagavatam class and the moment the book is shut, he's talking about prasadam. Or he's talking about the weather, or he's planning his day. But the advanced devotee, the moment Bhagavatam closes in front of him, it opens in his heart. And he then spends the entire day considering the ideas of Bhagavatam. Chintitam. This is the meaning of anticipation. This is what we should remember. So that's all I can say about the class, even though there's so much to say. But I have about 5 to 8 minutes left. And I want to speak only 5 minutes. And I know Radhajivan Prabhu is here. And he's a very, very senior member of this wonderful movement of Prabhupada. And he had wonderful dealings with my Guru Maharaj. And he was instrumental in the formation of ISKCON Dwarka. So all I can do as a disciple of Maharaj is to just maybe give you some idea of the personality that Maharaj was in his mortal body when he was here. Maharaj's nature was that he was very personal. Maharaj had no secretaries, didn't want anyone to be in between him and his disciples. You could call Maharaj any time of the day. And if you didn't call him, after 3 days, he would pick up the phone and say, "Why you're not calling? Are you all right? Is something wrong?" Maharaj had a diary with him with all the numbers. And he would plan, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm going to call Abu Dhabi. Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to call Singapore. And like that, half the day would be spent remembering his disciples. And because he had to look at the phone book very often, he would write down Bhagavatam verses around the phone book. So that when he looked at a line of numbers, and we still have that phone book with us, you would see one verse from Bhagavatam next to it. So Maharaj said, "This is how I don't become trapped with the phone. I look at the Bhagavatam verse, I pray very hard to Krishna, so that I can hear what my devotee disciple is going to tell me, and in that way I can tolerate the difficulties of the material existence." So that way Maharaj was very personal. Maharaj had no fear of death. In fact, he always told me that Devaki, those who fear death, they will die. Those who don't fear death, death runs away from them. When Maharaj had a stroke in 1999, doctors told us that there is a 90% chance he will be paralyzed. So he was kept under 72 hours surveillance in the London hospital. I flew in from Singapore after 24 hours and I didn't know what would I see there. And the moment I came in there, Maharaj, when I came in and I walked in and I saw Maharaj, I thought I would see a terrible picture of Maharaj being paralyzed. But at that point of time, I saw Maharaj starting to move his right hand up and down and saying, "Devaki, this is what they call a stroke." You know, I thought I would be finished, but my hand is moving. But his legs could not move, you know. So for the next 2-3 days, it was very difficult. And while he was in hospital, there was a clot forming from his calf muscles and it was moving up to his lung. And the doctors say if it gets lodged in his lung, it becomes an embolism and that second stroke he will not survive. Late one night as he was lying down in the hospital, the doctors also warned me that the stroke is such that he will lose his memory. And I remember feeling very, very, very downcast because Maharaj lived based on his remembrance of Bhagavatam and verses. What he would do every morning is Maharaj's general living was by 2 in the morning he would wake up and he would start shaving. Because he was a bit elderly, his shaving took a bit of time. While he was shaving, he would be able to chant 3 to 5 verses of Bhagavad Gita. And after shaving, while he was washing, he would finish another verse or another chapter. By the time he went to take bath, he would be chanting another 4 or 5 verses of Bhagavad Gita. He would wash his clothes right to the end. He never allowed anyone to wash his clothes. Once I asked him, "Maharaj, why are you so humble that you don't want anyone to wash clothes?" He said, "Devaki, it's nothing to do with humility. You fellows don't know how to wash clothes. It's nothing fancy. It's not about my humility. You spoil my clothes. You will rinse it this way and squeeze it that way. You people left eating meat, but you exhibit violence in the way you squeeze your clothes. You know, when your dhoti has been used, what do? You throw it on the floor. That is a symptom of your taste for meat eating. It is a subtle form of violence. When clothes have been used, you fold them neatly, you put them aside, and then you lovingly wash them." Maharaj said, "Bhakti is like fabric of cloth. If the fabric is strong and you rinse it, the kurta survives. But if your fabric is thin, even a simple rinse will tear it. Our bhakti must be strong in fabric. So he told me, don't wash my clothes because I'm humble, because you fellas don't know how to wash it. So by the time he washed his clothes and by the time he finished all his daily morning and by the time he applied tilak, almost 15-16 chapters of Bhagavad Gita he would finish. And by the time he was ready to start his rounds, he would start his rounds around about 3 o'clock in the morning. He always instructed us that we should chant our rounds before Mangala Arati. Because if you chant your rounds before Mangala Arati, then you are prepared to receive Krishna in the form of Mangala Arati in the right mood. Otherwise, what happens is, while Mangala Arati is weighing on, we are thinking, when can I sleep? Or this is too much. We will not be in the proper mood to receive Mangala Arati. Maharaj was very particular about Mangala Arati. In Dwarka, one time, there was a big flood, big typhoon. And for 3-4 days, non-stop, the rains were going on. The deities were up to here, downstairs. And I was worried, you know, because I was thinking, how am I going to call Singapore? How am I going to tell them that I'm in this? And Maharaj made me more worried because he said, I think, Devaki, this time Dwarka is going to go down into the waters for the second time. And I thought, Maharaj, that's not a very nice thing to tell me because I'm very attached to my family in Singapore. He said, Devaki, now we should be prepared to die in this flood. And that got me more worried. Why is Maharaj telling me all this? And then when the deities were in water, we could not do Mangala Arati downstairs. We had to move them. So by the time we did that, it was 2 a.m. in the morning. And we had to move Maharaj from his ashram upstairs to the second floor because of leakage. We put him on a small wooden bed. There was no electricity, just a candle. And then we told Maharaj, Maharaj, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You please take rest. You're elderly, you should take rest. We'll do Mangala Arati ourselves somewhere. Don't worry. Ma said, all right, but do Mangala Arati. We said, yeah, we'll do it. But in our hearts, we were thinking, it's already 2:30. We are very tired. We've had a long day. It's okay if we skip Mangala Arati. So I and my god brother went to sleep. And while sleeping, I had a dream, you know. I dreamt someone was singing Samsara Dava and playing kartals. And the longer I tried to wake up, the longer the dream went on. And after a while, when I woke up and I pinched myself, I realized this is not a dream. Someone is actually doing Mangala Arati. And I saw that the time was already 4:40. So I hurried down in the dark. I came to Maharaj's room. And there with a small candlelight, sitting very quietly with rain water leaking all over him with a wet dhoti and kurta, Maharaj was singing Samsara Dava. And I really felt rotten to the core. Because I realized at that point, the reason why I told Maharaj to go to sleep and skip Mangala Arati was because I wanted to skip Mangala Arati. And I said, Maharaj, I'm very sorry that I missed Mangala Arati. Maharaj said, Devaki, sometimes we tell people, Prabhu, you're hungry, you want to eat? Factually speaking, we are hungry. But we can't tell him, you know, that we are hungry. And we still have to be Vaishnava. And we have to have etiquette. So we said, Prabhu, are you hungry? Just hoping that he will say yes, and then we can also take. So he said, like that, you told me that you should take rest. Because you wanted to take rest. So I said, Maharaj, what should I do? And he said, you should seek pardon from Krishna. Sincerely, any time you miss Mangala Arati, you should seek pardon. When Maharaj had the stroke, not a single day in the hospital did he miss Mangala Arati. At 4:15 sharp, without a watch, he would call, Haribol, Haribol. And then I would be sleeping under his bed. I would get up, what time is it? I'll say 4:15. Maharaj says, sing Samsara Dava. And we would sing. He never missed it. And one last point I can remember on his renunciation. When he had the stroke, you know, one day he called me and said, Devaki, now I want you to inform the GBC and I want you to inform the authorities that I'm going to give up sannyas. And I thought, this is the end of my life. If Maharaj is going to give up sannyas, then what happens to us? I said, Maharaj, why are you giving up being a sannyasi? He said, sannyas means you have to travel, you have to preach. And traveling and preaching means you have to move. My leg is still not moving. How can I travel and how can I preach? Why should I wear saffron if I cannot do that? Better now I renounce being a renunciate. And I was thinking, I always thought the last word of renunciation is being a sannyasi. But now, how am I going to describe that Maharaj wants to renounce sannyas, and that goes beyond renunciation of being a sannyasi? Maharaj said, doesn't matter, I'll just wear white clothes, because I should not pretend to be renounced when factually speaking I cannot live up to the ashram of renunciation. And that's when I realized, you know,
that Maharaj was not concerned about what color he wore. He always said that in your whole life, even if you don't wear saffron, your heart should be the color of saffron. When I was going to get married, Maharaj told me, now marriage means you are finished. 1 year after I got married, Maharaj asked me, Devki, how is your marriage? I said, Maharaj, it's good. Maharaj said, don't lie. Be straightforward, man. Marriage and good is an oxymoron. It doesn't work. It's a contradiction in terms. Huh? Just say, Maharaj, I'm tolerating. At least I will accept that. He told me when I was going to get married, even if you're married, always keep a part of your heart strong in the fire of saffron and brahmachari. And you will only remain brahmachari in any ashram if you bury your head in Bhagavatam. The day you leave Bhagavatam, the four walls of whatever ashram you're in will swallow you up. And that's the end of you. That's the end of you. And I'll end by saying one last thing. Maharaj's leg was not moving. The embolism was growing. And the doctor said he had to take a medicine known as warfarin. Warfarin is that medicine that helps to thin the blood so that it will not clot. One lady doctor in the middle of the night came to us in the hospital and said, your grandfather, because I had registered him as my grandfather in the hospital, he has to take this warfarin. And for Maharaj, medicine means death. No medicine means life. He refused to take medication. So the doctor lady, you know, she was a young Indian girl. I really pity her. She came in front of Maharaj and she said, Dear sir, you have to take this. He said, no, I'm not going to take it. She said, if you don't take it, you have to write a disclaimer because by morning you will not be alive. Maharaj said, what will kill me is not the stroke. It's people like you who tell me that I'll be dead in the morning. Maharaj said, this Bhagavatam will keep me alive. And she said, what medicine is this called? Maharaj said, it's called Bhagavatam. Maharaj said, where is this medicine you're taking? Maharaj said, take out the book and show it to her. And I took out the book and I showed it. And she said, this is not going to cure you. Maharaj said, in the morning, I'll be alive. You might be dead. Don't be too sure. Don't be too sure. Maharaj said, you are Indian? She said, yes. Maharaj said, you are from our culture? She said, yes. What is your name? She said, my name is Maya. Maharaj said, nothing else to say now. Maya, you go back to do what you do best. You just continue doing Maya. And I'll stick to Bhagavatam. You keep the pill. If you want to take it, you take it yourself. And tomorrow morning, we'll see each other. And in the morning, when she came for her final rounds before she changed shift, Maharaj was already moving his legs. That leg that couldn't move for 3 days, he was starting to kick. So he was doing this, and he was kicking his leg out. And when she came near, he said, don't come too near, I may just kick you. Jai Shri Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj ki. Radha Jivan Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu, I know I took time, but Radha Jivan Prabhu is here. I know he has great desire to say something. Prabhuji.
Yeah, can I come there so that I can...
Please.
Hare Krishna.
Hindi, English? Can I speak in Hindi?
Hindi is
fine. मैं हिंदी में कुछ कहूंगा. आज बड़े सौभाग्य की बात है कि महाविष्णु महाराज की स्मृति में मैं यहां आप सबके बीच उपस्थित हूं. यही भगवान का चमत्कार है. हम लोग दिन रात ये प्रयास करते हैं कि हम लोगों को कुछ भगवत अनुभव हो. मैं इसी को भगवत अनुभव मानता हूं. आज ऐसे सुंदर दिन जबकि श्रील महाविष्णु महाराज की स्मृति में इतने वैष्णव भक्त एकत्रित हैं और देवकी नंदन प्रभु जिनको मैं बरसों से जानता हूं, उन्होंने अन्य सेवा की है और उनके श्रीमुख से इतने सुंदर वक्तव्य रिमेम्बरेंसेस और महाराज की जीवनी को सुन करके सारी यादें बड़ी ताजा हो गई। महाराज जी से मेरी मुलाकात सन 1993 में लॉस एंजलिस में हुई थी। मैं उस समय नया अमेरिका गया था और मायापुर में मैं उसके पहले 14 साल रहा। एक विदेश जैसे जगह पे कुछ मन भी उखड़ा उखड़ा रहता था और उन्हीं दिनों श्रीला महाविष्णु महाराज संन्यास उन्होंने लिया था नया और वे लॉस एंजलिस विदेशों के भ्रमण में निकले थे। जब मेरी मुलाकात उनसे हुई तो मुझे ऐसा लगा कि मेरे परमार्थिक जीवन में जैसे एक बाढ़ आ गई हो। उनकी एनर्जी, उनकी भक्ति, उनका उत्साह, उनके उम्र के होने के बावजूद भी एक बालक जैसा था वो। बिल्कुल बालकों की कांति थी उनके अंदर। वे हमेशा हम लोगों को शुरू शुरू में सुनाया करते थे कि ही यूज टू से व्हाई डू यू हैव दिस बनाना फेस, यू शुड हैव एन ऑरेंज फेस। हमेशा वो हम लोगों के, क्योंकि जीव है ना, वासनाओं से हम लोग हमेशा मुंह लटक जाता है क्योंकि वासनाएं जो है हम लोगों के भीतर भरी पड़ी हैं और उन वासनाओं की पूर्ति में हम लोग हमेशा, जितने भी हम जीव हैं, वो हमेशा एक प्रेशर हमारे ऊपर बना रहता है। तो वो तुरंत इसको सेंस करते थे एंड ही यूज टू चैस्टाइज अस, डोंट डू दिस बनाना फेस, आई डोंट लाइक। इस तरह से महाराज हमेशा हंसते रहते थे, हंसाते रहते थे और जो उनको करीबी से नहीं जानता था वे ये समझ सकता था कि वो महाराज इज ए लाइट पर्सन। नहीं, लेकिन उनके अंदर एक बहुत डीप गंभीरता थी, एक भक्ति की गंभीरता उनके अंदर में ऐसी बास कर रही थी कि जब वे श्रीमद् भागवतम पे या किसी भी परमार्थ के प्रसंग पे अपना वक्तव्य कहते थे तो ऐसा लगता था जैसे श्रीमद् भागवतम के सार को उन्होंने निचोड़ करके रख दिया हो। वे हमेशा कहते थे, राधा जीवन, ट्राई टू रीड द भागवतम बिटवीन द लाइन्स। भागवत में जो लिखा है वो बड़ी अच्छी बात है, लेकिन जब भागवत के लेख को हम चिंतन करते हैं देन वी आर रीडिंग इन बिटवीन द लाइन्स। तो वे हमेशा भागवतम के लिए कहते थे। एक बार मुझे याद है कोई हिंदी बोलने वाला भक्त था और उनसे महाराज जी ने कहा, डू यू स्पीक इंग्लिश? उसने कहा, नो महाराज, मुझे इंग्लिश नहीं आती। तो महाराज ने कहा, लर्न इंग्लिश सो यू कैन रीड श्रीला प्रभुपाद्स परपोर्ट्स एज इट इज। इवन दो प्रभुपाद्स परपोर्ट्स हैव बीन ट्रांसलेटेड इनटू अदर लैंग्वेजेस बट व्हाट द वर्ड्स दैट प्रभुपाद हैज यूज्ड इन द इंग्लिश लैंग्वेज दैट इज मोस्ट इम्पोर्टेंट, सो लर्न इंग्लिश जस्ट फॉर दैट पर्पस। तो इस तरह से छोटे छोटे एनेक्डोट्स में उन्होंने बहुत सी बातें संसार को समझाई, सिखाई और जो भी उनके साथ कुछ समय तक रहा या उनके एसोसिएशन में रहा उन लोगों को बहुत बड़ा लाभ हुआ। छोटी छोटी बातें थी। एक बार हम लोग अलाचुआ मंदिर में, अलाचुआ मंदिर एक बहुत बड़ा गृहस्थ कम्युनिटी है, तो वहां पर मैं, हम लोग सब गृहस्थ थे, माता पिता हमारे बच्चे हैं, तो एज पेरेंट्स वी आर ऑलवेज वेरी वरिड फॉर आवर चिल्ड्रन एंड वी आस्क्ड हिम दिस वेरी सिंपल क्वेश्चन, महाराज हाउ डू वी ट्रेन आवर चिल्ड्रन? एंड ही गेव एन आंसर दैट आई विल नेवर फॉरगेट इन माई लाइफ। ही सेड, चिल्ड्रन हैव वेरी बिग आईज एंड दे हैव वेरी स्मॉल ईयर्स, यू शो दम बाई एग्जाम्पल एंड दे विल फॉलो यू, यू ट्राई टू इंस्ट्रक्ट दम एंड दे विल नेवर फॉलो यू, एंड दिस इज द मिस्टेक यू बॉयज एंड गर्ल्स आर ऑलवेज डूइंग, यू आर नॉट फॉलोइंग, यू आर नॉट शोइंग एन एग्जाम्पल and you are wanting to instruct your children to become pure devotees. So this is something I always remembered, how children have big eyes and small ears. And I think it goes for all of us. We all have big eyes. We are watching one another. We are watching the acharan of the other devotee, of the leading devotee, of the senior devotee, more than we are watching the words, the hearing the words of the devotee. So isme Prabhu Maharaj ji ne hum logo ko bahut badi shiksha di ki hamare vaktavya ke sath, hamare preaching ke sath, hamare acharan bahut zaruri hai. Hum agar bhakt ka acharan karenge, bhakt ka vyavhar karenge, to nischit hum dusre ko prabhavit kar sakte hain. Is tarah se फिर से मैं कहूंगा, कहने को तो बहुत सी बातें हैं. बहुत सी बातें हैं महाराज श्री के बारे में. बड़ी वृद्ध अवस्था थी उनकी. मुझे याद है वे द्वारका जी जाकर के और ऐसे ही पेड़ों के नीचे द्वारका से पहले जंगलों में एक उनका शिष्य था विदेशी. उस लड़के को लेकर, वो भी थोड़ा सा पागल सा ही था, उसको लेकर के और पेड़ों के नीचे महाराज एक सवा महीने तक रहे थे. ही लिव्ड अंडर अ ट्री इन अ फॉरेस्ट एंड ही वुड सिट देयर एंड समहाउ सम फूड वुड कम फ्रॉम समवेयर एंड ही वुड ईट वन और टू रोटीज एंड हिम एंड हिज डिसाइपल दे वुड रीड भागवतम ऑल डे अंडर द ट्री. ही हैड नोवेयर टू गो. समटाइम्स ही यूज्ड टू जोक. He said many deep things in his very jovial statements. He said, Radha Jivan, my name is Mahavishnu Goswami. So after 3 days in any temple, they say, Goswami. So he said, I have no place to go because everyone says Goswami. So now I'm taking shelter under this tree in the forest of Dwarka. For a month and a half. लेकिन भगवान सुनते हैं. जिनका कोई नहीं होता उनका भगवान होता है. तो ऐसे ही कोई ऐसा प्रसंग आया, मेरी बड़ाई के लिए नहीं कह रहा, मैं इसलिए कह रहा हूं कि कृष्णा इंटरवीन्स विथ सच हम्बल एंड सरेंडर डिवोटीज. ऐसे ही मेरी वार्ता महाराज जी से द्वारका में हो रही थी और द्वारका में उनको किसी व्यक्ति ने एक बहुत पुरानी सी धर्मशाला दी थी कि आप इसमें महाराज जी रह लीजिए, पुरानी टूटी हुई धर्मशाला है. तो महाराज जी उसी में रहते थे और उन्होंने डीटीज भी उनको मिल गई थी और डीटीज की सेवा करते थे और 2-3 भक्तों के साथ वहां रहते थे. मेरे अंदर कुछ ऐसी प्रेरणा आई, भगवान की कृपा हुई, कुछ धन भी मेरे पास था. हमारी स्त्री ने भी कुछ प्रेरणा दी कि आप इस धन का कुछ अच्छा उपयोग कीजिए और किसी संत के लिए कोई मंदिर वगैरह बनवा दीजिए. तो मैंने तुरंत महाराज जी को फोन किया. मैंने कहा, महाराज जी आपको, तो उन्होंने कहा, राधा जीवन, मुझे अभी अभी ये धर्मशाला मिली है, बिल्कुल टूटा हुआ है और मैं सोच रहा था कि बगल में एक बढ़िया सा मंदिर हो जाता ठाकुर जी के लिए तो बहुत अच्छा होता. मैंने कहा, महाराज मैं तुरंत आपको 1 करोड़ रुपया भेज रहा हूं. महाराज ने कहा, राधा जीवन तुम पहले फोन रखो. तो मैंने कहा, क्यों महाराज? उन्होंने कहा, मैं पहले ठाकुर जी के सामने जाकर के नाचूंगा और नाच करके आकर के फिर तुम मुझे 10 मिनट बाद फोन करना. तो ये सारे प्रसंग में उन्होंने तुरंत देखा कि ये भगवान की क्रिया है, भगवान के वजह से ये सारा मंदिर बन रहा है. वो ये नहीं देख रहे थे कि राधा जीवन इसको बनवा रहे हैं, उन्होंने भगवान के हाथ को उसमें देखा. उन्होंने कहा, पहले मुझे जाकर के अपनी कृतज्ञता भगवान के सामने दिखानी है, उनके सामने मैं नृत्य करूंगा. वो वृद्ध सन्यासी जिनके पांव नहीं चलते थे, उन्होंने कहा, मैं भगवान के सामने नाचूंगा कि ओहो हो, कितना बड़ा काम आप कर रहे हैं. और इस तरह से वो मंदिर बना. वो द्वारका का मंदिर पूरे पत्थरों का बना हुआ है और महाराज जी ने, हम लोगों ने कहा भी, महाराज जी बहुत महंगा है इस तरह से. उन्होंने कहा, नहीं नहीं, ये 5000 साल तक नहीं टूटेगा ये मंदिर, इसलिए इसको बिल्कुल पत्थर का और वो भी कार्विंग के पत्थर का बनाना है. अब वो बड़े थे, हम लोग कुछ नहीं कह सके और उन्होंने कहा, तुम्हें आवश्यकता नहीं, तुमने इतना किया बहुत है और पैसे अपने आप आ जाएंगे. वो पैसा भी आया, मंदिर भी बना और आप लोग जो द्वारका गए हैं वहां देखिए कैसा भव्य, वो इतना भारी मंदिर महाराज जी ने बनवाया. उस समय मैं ओपनिंग में गया था और मैंने उस समय कहा भी था कि देखिए, इस कलयुग में एक द्वापर युग का मंदिर ऐसे संत ने खड़ा किया है अपनी निष्ठा से. उसी तरह से मंदिर जब बन गया, 1 साल हुआ, महाराज रुक नहीं पाए. महाराज ने कहा, मैं राजकोट जा रहा हूं. मैंने कहा अभी तो मंदिर आपने बनाया है, यू शुड लिव हियर, यू शुड एंजॉय दिस टेम्पल, यू शुड बी कंफर्टेबल एंड लिव अ रिटायर्ड लाइफ. ही सेड नहीं नहीं, आई हैव टू गो नाउ टू राजकोट. सो ही वेंट टू राजकोट. आई डिड नॉट सपोर्ट द आइडिया. आई सेड नाउ व्हाई यू गोइंग टू राजकोट एट दिस एज. ही गॉट हिमसेल्फ अ स्मॉल लिटिल अपार्टमेंट. ही स्टेड देयर. ही मेड द इंटायर कम्युनिटी कृष्णा कॉन्शियस. And then one day, I was visiting him in Rajkot, and he said, Radha Jeevan, let's go. There is a very beautiful piece of ISKCON land I want to show you. That land was in a God-forsaken place. Nobody ever went there. So he took me in the car. It was a beautiful, it was a nice piece of land with no water in it, no neighbors, nobody. And then he said, Radha Jeevan, one temple must be built here. I quietly walked away from there and went and sat in the car. I said, I think our Maharaj is getting senile with old age. He's building a temple here in the middle of nowhere with no water. And yahan par main now I have to put my money here. But Maharaj was insistent. Maharaj understood that this boy is weak. He doesn't understand. And I went back to Delhi after a few days. Later on I heard, after 2 months, Maharaj had built a small little hut on that piece of land. He had given up his apartment in the city and he had moved there with his one or two disciples. Water was coming from outside. Nothing was there. It was extremely hot. There was nothing growing. Not a tree was there. So, very defeated, I went back to see Maharaj. And Maharaj was sitting there smiling with his kartals and Bhagavatam. And he said, see, Radha Jeevan, we have already started the project. So such was his determination, and sure enough, there was a fantastic building was built there, and we did one or two borings, and immediately water came out of that land, which was completely unlikely, and now a beautiful temple. Then he was talking to me, he said, Radha Jeevan, we need to make a solid marble temple here. And I was thinking, oh my God, marble temple is extremely expensive. But a marble temple is coming up there. So such was his determination, and Krishna fulfilled all his desires. He was a wonderful sadhu, a wonderful sannyasi, just like Devaki Nandan Prabhu was saying, that Maharaj always wanted to preach. I remember when he had his stroke in 2000, right? When he had a stroke in 2000, I invited him to Alachua, to my house, to take some rest there. And he came. But after 15 days, he was restless. And I had gone on some business. He took the opportunity of my absence in the house, packed his bags, got his disciples to get a ticket, and he went traveling. And this is how he was. He was always traveling, always preaching. He would come from long flights from India after traveling for 22, 23 hours in economy class. And as soon as he landed, he would say, open the Bhagavatam. He never cared for showers. He never cared for rest. He always wanted to teach us Srimad Bhagavatam. So such was a great sadhu and sannyasi that lived in our movement, is also living presently in our movement. It is our good fortune that today we are able to speak about him. We are able to hear about him, because it is said in the Shastra that to glorify a devotee is greater than glorification of Krishna. When a devotee is glorified, then Krishna himself is present and he is listening. There is a story like this. There was a very good sadhu who used to do Bhaktamal Katha. Bhaktamal is the glorification of 550 devotees. And he was doing Bhagavatam Katha, Bhaktamal Katha in Govinda Devji Mandir. The story is about 250 years old. And he was doing the Katha. So he did Katha for 7 days and then he had to go away. When he came back after 15 days to continue another 7 days of Bhaktamal Katha, he asked all the devotees who were assembled there, ki acha wo prasang maine kahan choda tha? To aapko to pata hai shrota kaise hote hain, unko to prasang bilkul nahi yaad rehta. To koi nahi bata paya ki kahan prasang choda gaya tha. And at that time, the sadhu became a little upset. He said, I am here speaking and you people do not even have any memory of where I left off. So I am not going to speak the Bhaktamal anymore. And at that time, Govinda Devji, the deity Govinda Devji, he spoke up. He said, Maharaj ji, आपने प्रसंग यहां छोड़ा था और मैं तो सुन रहा हूं ना, मैं आपका मुख्य जजमान हूं. और फिर महाराज जी ने उस प्रसंग को वहां से शुरुआत की. तो इसलिए निश्चित ये जो सभा आज बैठी है, ये हमारे श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ जी के प्रेम वश उन्होंने ये सभा बुलाई है. और मेरा सौभाग्य है, आई हैड नो आइडिया देवकी नंदन प्रभु इज इन इंडिया. I do not know why. I called Rajkot yesterday. He picked up the phone. He told me about this program. And since then, since last night, I have been impatiently waiting to be able to come here amongst all of you and to be able to hear a few wonderful pastimes and words of Srila Mahavishnu Maharaj. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Mahavishnu Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna.